wonderful, wonderful thought to begin our time of study together with. I praise God for what He has done. I want to praise God for the beautiful thoughts that have already been delivered from this stage. Man, Will Kersey, that was great. I laughed, I cried. I thought I may need to have him handling my money. But I think about, you know, Tim Burton, always such a fight. You two guys ought to be preaching somewhere. I'm just saying. Y'all are such an encouragement to us, and I appreciate it. We had a great week, a lot of different smiles to bring to you. Last set of our Guess Who's Coming to Dinners pictures, a lot of smiles. Always good to see you there, Mr. Riley. I don't know if anybody looks better on screen than Mr. Riley up there. And I know, Mr. Riley, I'm thankful you're up in this part of the state this week. We certainly need to remember our friends in North Carolina and in the eastern part of our state and all that's kind of going on, all those that are working, whether it be electrician or now road workers or public safety folks. We want to continue to pray for those that were kind of most recently affected by the storm and those that have lost their lives. But what a blessing it is for us to have people that are willing and ready to come to the aid of others. You'll be hearing, and I believe it is this week, the disaster relief group that we've gone up and worked with out of Nashville is putting together several boxes and trucks that will be going out. And if you're interested in helping with that, I'll send out an email later today just about a time and a date when they're going to be packaging boxes to be sent for that. But a great week with our Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. Sorry, my picture ended up being too dark, but that's okay. This group, a lot of fun. Sorry, Zoe Ann, closed eyes. Sorry about that. And this bunch, everybody's smiling except Ellie. Ellie girl, what's going on? I know what it is. Gail pinched you right before the picture. All right, so, but speaking of families growing, congratulations. We want to celebrate with the Campbell family that continues to grow. And we are so excited for you guys. And if you don't know, Clay got engaged this week. And so super, super happy for that. And also just a lot of joyful pictures, different things going on, birthdays, weddings, other celebrations, fun times. This Wednesday night was a beautiful thing. If you have not had the opportunity, did not get a chance to be here, but it was a beautiful thing to see Jose de la Cruz give his life to the Lord and to be born again in Christ, and we rejoice in that. I love to see the way that you embraced him, and please continue to pray for him as well as others that are affiliated with the 101st that have been deployed, and so we want to especially remember Jose. This was my set. I don't know if you can find, I loved the other night because we had babies at our house, and I just sat and held babies. It was the best. It was the best time. Sleeping babies, crying babies, just babies. Today we continue our one another conversation with the thought, forgive one another. Of all the things in the world that are generally, difficult for us as people, I think extending forgiveness is one of them. I've heard it said that there are two phrases that are most difficult to say in any language. I was wrong, and I'm sorry. And I would add a third to that pair. I forgive you. I forgive you. And so today, as we talk about this, I can't remember if I've ever shared this story, but there is a story that goes way back in my time. It was my dorm mother. Her name was Mama Rose. When I moved in at Mama Rose's place in the dorm at Freed Hardeman, Rose was 74 years old. She had been a nurse and a mom, and she was a widow. I loved Rose. I was one of the RAs, and I can remember when I got in trouble one time as an RA. You're supposed to be the supervisor, right? Well, I had gone out with a group of buddies of mine, and we had gone to the local, place called Perkins, up all night, bottomless coffee. That was the big deal, because we would go and study. And at Freed Hardeman, you had to be in at midnight or midnight 30 or whatever it was. And I needed to study, and I needed the help of these guys who were in other dorms, and we were studying for this organic chem test. And I snuck out, and we drove up together. We met, and I picked them up, and we went up, and we stayed up at Perkins till about 4 in the morning until we came back. And what I hadn't planned on was in the dorm next to us was Papa something or another, Newsom. And Papa Newsom worked at Walmart changing out lights. And so he would get up early in the morning, say 4 o'clock. And he saw my car pulling in, and he saw me, and he was like, he called it in. And they got the number, the tag, whatever. Well, that night as I was doing my rounds and checking guys in, I brought it back to Mama Rose, and I said, everybody's here. And she says, Chuck, honey, I've got a question to ask you. Did you loan your car to one of the boys? And I said, why do you ask, Mama Rose? She said, well, Pop Newton saw your car coming back in at 4 o'clock, and Dean England's going to be calling you in. Some of you might know Dean England, dear friend that counsels down in Columbia now. He was the dean of our school at the time. Dean England's going to be calling you in, and so you might want to go see him before he calls you, if it was you. And I said, thank you, Mama Rose, I appreciate it. And I went to see him and explained, and I got some community service, as was the case. But Mama Rose loved us. And what I'm about to tell you about Mama Rose, I never knew until many years later. You see, I knew Mama Rose was a widow, but I didn't know why. You see, when she was raising us and helping us, I never knew. I did know that her husband, who had passed away, was a preacher. And I knew that something had happened years ago, but I never knew exactly what. You see, on Tuesday night, January the 30th of 1968, Brother Paul Shoulders, who was a minister up at the Hendersonville Church at the time, was on his way to go visit some sick folks in the hospital. And about that same time that he and a friend, Carl McKelvey, Cecil McKelvey, were leaving the church building, another guy was getting off work. His name was Chuck. And where Chuck was getting off work, he was at a local machine shop, and typically what he would do is he would leave that machine shop and head to the local pub where he would drink, and he would drink. And this night was no different. And as he left that pub, he knew he was in no shape to drive, and he actually had called somebody to come get him, but he changed his mind. And he began to drive home, and as happens from time to time when you're driving under an influence of alcohol, he swerved and went across the interstate into the opposing lane, and he hit the car where Brother McKelvey and Brother Shoulders were coming in the opposite direction. Understand, it killed Brother McKelvey almost instantly in that scenario. Brother Shoulders would be in the hospital for several weeks before he passed away. But the interesting part of this tragedy and this story, the men from the church began to go to visit Chuck in the jail and began to share with him Jesus and talk to him about the gospel. And those men, 8 days later, after he was released on bond, he would be baptized into Christ 8 days later. You see, Chuck walked away from the incident unharmed, unhurt. And as he would continue to struggle with his alcoholism for the longer part of his life, Mama Rose would raise a 15-year-old, a 13-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 4-year-old by herself. She would go back to school to become a nurse so she could support her family. But I heard Rose's oldest son say, Mom would never let us be angry at Chuck. She would say to us that we have been forgiven. And as we have been forgiven, we should forgive. God has forgiven us of so much. How can we not forgive Chuck? You see, this fellow would eventually go to serve 5 years in prison, and he would continue to, he would encounter the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, and he would battle his addiction for years to come. But in one of those meetings, he would share his story. And he would say that it was one of those steps, that eighth step, that step where you try to make restitution with those whom you've harmed. And in that meeting that night, a friend of the son of Brother McKelvey was in the audience. And he said, "I've got a card, I want to give it to you." He said, "I know you haven't been able to make restitution because you don't know who these people were or their families or where they are, but this is the son of one of the men who died." And so he went and he met with this son, and it was Dr. Carl McKelvey. And he said, the son who, when he walked into his office, McKelvey said to him, "I forgive you." He would then connect him with the other young man who was 4 years old when his father died, now a grown man. And he said, as he walked into the room, he met him, and he said, "I'm so, so sorry." And John replied to him, he said, "I've forgiven you already. I forgave you years ago." He said, our hearts began to draw closer. And the man asked him, he said, "Do you know the song, Balm of Gilead?" He said, "Would you sing that with me?" He wept as they sang. He would later ask John if he would speak one day at his funeral. You see, they would go around and they would talk to folks about forgiveness and what it means to forgive others and to forgive one another. You know, we're called in Scripture to forgive. In Colossians chapter 3, we find Paul's writing, and he's giving us this life-changing action that we're supposed to be, this new self. In chapter 3, he's saying, set our minds on things above. He's telling us all these things that need to be put to death and can't be a part of our lives anymore, like things that go along with unforgiveness, things like anger and wrath and malice and slander and obscenity. He says, you've put those things off. Now put on, verse 12, as God's holy ones, holy, chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness and humility and meekness and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving one another, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all things, put on love, which binds everything in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you are indeed called into one body, and to be thankful. I want you to think about with me this morning, forgiving one another. You see, Brother Shoulder's accident changed an entire family. A church family, a nuclear family, it changed an entire family, but it didn't just change them by losing a father, it also changed them because there was a mother in that family who said, we're going to live out our faith. We're going to learn to forgive others like God has forgiven us. So as we think about the call to forgiveness, I want you to think about it, the fact that forgiveness is such a powerful thing. It's a foundational principle to Christian living. It's found, the word itself is found over 143 times throughout our New Testament. It means to release a person from obligation, canceling a debt. And so I say to you this, that forgiveness always involves a choice. It's not a feeling that we feel like love. I can remember Brother Ralph Gilmore saying often about love. We talk about falling in love like it's a hole. He said, no. Biblical love is not a feeling that you feel when you get the feeling that you've never felt before. He said, that's not what love is. Love is a choice. And just like love is a choice, forgiveness is an outgrowth of a choice to love others. I want you to think about what C.S. Lewis says. Everybody talks about forgiveness until they have someone to forgive. You see, we all love forgiveness. We want forgiveness. We need forgiveness. And if you're a Christian today, you recognize that need in your life. At some point in time, you recognize the fact that you were a sinner. You have done something that you couldn't take back, and you needed God to forgive you. And thank God He has. Thank God there was a willingness on His part to extend that forgiveness to us. You see, that forgiveness is the greatest need from God that we have. And it's the highest and noblest achievement that we can give to a fellow man. It's been said that we are never more like God than when we forgive. I want you to think about several passages with me this morning as we think about where God has offered us forgiveness. We just shared a little bit from Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 1, that same book, we find the scripture saying these words. He says, "So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord to please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, gaining knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to the glorious might, that you may have great endurance and patience, giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light." And then verse 13, "For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness, and He brought us into the kingdom of His Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." You see, what God did in Jesus was He qualified us to be part of His kingdom. And in Christ, God offers us forgiveness. That's why we talk. You saw that beautiful imagery of that this Wednesday night when Jose said, "I want to be in Christ." Why is that such an important decision that we make? Because it's not just that I believe in what God has done. It's that I believe that God has said, this is where the forgiveness is found, and it's in His Son. And so I want to be united with His Son. That's why He's immersed into Christ. That's where God unites us to the forgiving power of His blood. And the blood was significant because Hebrews 9:22 says this of forgiveness. In fact, that the law required that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. For without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. As we thought about the Lord's Supper this morning, Matthew 26:28 says, "This cup, it is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." You see, the choice that Jesus made going to the cross was a choice of love. When He went to the cross to die for our sins, to shed His blood that would forgive us of our sins, it was not something that He just felt. "Well, you know, I just don't feel like I can forgive Him. I don't know if I can feel like this is something I can ever let go of. I don't know if I can feel..." You see, feeling is not part of the choice of forgiveness. Your decision to be a follower of Jesus says, "I'm going to live like Jesus lived, and I'm going to make the choice to release, to let it go." In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, that first sermon that was ever preached, when they asked Peter and the apostles, "What do we do? How do we respond to this great guilt that we have because of our lives?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." You see, God offers us forgiveness. And in that, we are given the command to forgive others. You see, forgiveness is a command. It's not a suggestion. If you go back and you think about that passage we read from Colossians chapter 3, we find it, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, we're challenged to clothe ourselves with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness, and we bear with one another, and we forgive one another if you have grievances against them." You forgive as the Lord forgave. It wasn't because we made it back up to him or we came up with this great explanation or this, I'm so sorry. It was because that was his heart. That was his example. But it was a command. I think about Matthew chapter 6 when Jesus is teaching us to pray and he says that we are to forgive our debtors. Forgive those who have trespassed against us. Forgive us, Lord, of our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And I wonder sometimes, I'm like, is that really, if I'm a person that says, absolutely no way, I'm not forgiving them because I'm not, I wonder if that attitude that says, my right to hold on to this is more important than his need to extend forgiveness to him. I wonder if that attitude is an attitude that has the potential to carry us into an eternity without God. Why? Because Jesus said, if we don't forgive, that measure is what we're holding for ourselves. That we're saying, God, I'm not forgiving him, so I really don't care about it if you forgive me or not. I mean, this is a significant thing. Forgive us, Father, of our trespasses in the same way as we forgive others. If I say, I don't want to forgive somebody, I don't care. I mean, this was so important to Jesus that in the Sermon on the Mount, when he's teaching about prayer and he's teaching about our hearts, and he says, Matthew 5:24, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and you remember that your brother and sister, or his sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. And first, go and be reconciled to them. And then come back and offer your gift. In my mind, it's like if we're in this room and you've got somebody that you're struggling with and you're like, listen, don't wait. Get it right. I don't know of anything. I'm not saying that I've got something and I'm going, hey, I'm getting... No, I'm just saying that's the importance of it in the heart of God. Go to them. Forgiveness is not optional. I saw this quote recently and I thought it was powerful. There's no happiness in holding a grudge. Give it to God, throw it away, and begin again to grow in His grace. Secondly, there's no limit to forgiveness. Do you remember the conversation that Jesus would have with Peter in Matthew chapter 18? He's asking him, Lord, how many times should we forgive? Maybe up to 7 times. I mean, that's the biblical number, right? The number of completeness, the 7. And Jesus goes, how about 7 times 70? He's not saying that 490 is the magical number and you better keep tally or you can stop it right there. He's saying, don't put a limit on a heart of forgiveness. You think about it. This is the way we handle problems. This is the way we get beyond the moment. He would tell the story about the unforgiving servant. You remember the parable there in Matthew 18 when he's speaking to them, and one has been forgiven of this great, huge debt, and the other, he's just comes out, and the master says, I forgive you. I'm going to let it go. Cancel it out. And then he goes out and he finds his buddy that owes him, you know, just a little bit of money. And he holds it over his head and he says, have him arrested and thrown in jail until he can pay me back. And the scripture says, the master called the servant in and he said, you wicked servant, I canceled all of that debt of yours because you begged me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? And in his anger, the master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he paid it all back. This, the scripture says, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from the heart. You think forgiveness is an important thing for us to figure out? Do you think forgiveness is something that we've got to swallow our pride over whoever it is that you're holding it on to over, whatever event in the past that you're still holding on to? Do you think Jesus' words saying, unless you forgive, that this is how God is going to deal with us? I've heard some amazing stories of forgiveness. I wish some of you could share your stories with us of forgiveness, of moments and times and occasions where your life has been totally turned around because someone was willing to forgive. But Jesus says that should be all of us. That should be the heart and the norm for every follower. There's no limit. Forgiveness is a choice that we make. Another thing, forgiveness we know is difficult. I mean, I'm not to think about that. It's a difficult thing. You go back in Scripture and you think about Joseph in Genesis. The bulk of the book is dedicated to his life. And we think about how his brothers sold him into slavery, how he would go through ordeal and ordeal and ordeal through his life. Until then at the end of his life, he's face to face again with these very ones who had sold him off, who had put him into a situation where he would be a servant and a slave, who had put him in a situation where his master's wife would lie about him and he would be thrown in jail, and he would serve years and years in that jail. And yet, when he sees his brothers in the twilight of his life, what's his heart? In a moment where he has risen to a position in government, where he has the authority and the right to delegate justice on these guys, instead he offers forgiveness. It's not always the easy thing, but it's always the right thing. I saw this image not too long ago, and I thought, that's pretty adequate. This constrictor of a snake saying, I've been cut by this saw and I've been hurt and I'm bleeding. I was sliding across it and I got mad at it. So I just wrapped it up and I said, I'm gonna show you. And he began to squeeze and he began to squeeze because he was going to refuse to let that saw get away with what it had done in nicking him as he passed by. And the very truth was it would be the thing that would cause his death because he wouldn't let it go. Recently read these five things about forgiveness. Forgiveness is not about forgiving an offense. It's about accepting it and it's healing from it. It's not about making what somebody has done to you right, because those things are often terrible and impossible to justify. It's about you being willing to say, I'm walking away from it and I'm going to heal from it and I'm not going to hold that in my heart. It's not about excusing that behavior, but being responsible for your behavior and recovering from that offense. Forgiveness is not a pardon. The person is going to deal, that's going to happen. Whatever goes on is going to go on in their life. But the only person needed in the act of forgiveness is you. Somebody says, well, they hadn't asked me forgiveness. They hadn't even repented. They hadn't done anything. Why should I forgive them? That's not the point. The point is your heart and you being willing to let those things go. Forgiveness is a decision that you make and it sets you free from your offender. Now, ideally, you can be reconciled and you can come back and you can, especially if it's among brothers and sisters, that's an obligation that we have. We ought to be reconciled. But there are sometimes people have hurt you in the past and you say, I just don't know if I can forgive that person. I don't know if I can, you know, people say forgive and forget. We're not biologically created to be able to forget. That's a God thing that we don't possess. But we can forgive. We can forgive. And we can let it go. And we can let go of the effects that it's having on our hearts and our lives. And realize this, it's a process. It may take more than a moment, a second, a time, emotion. It may take a long time. Forgiveness is difficult. But reconciliation is the answer when it's brothers and sisters. You see, Romans chapter 12, verse 14 through 18 says this, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for the good things in the sight of all men. And if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. You see, forgiveness is a fundamental, crucial element of New Testament Christianity. And since all of us sin, all of us need forgiveness. And forgiveness is not just a phenomenon that happens between God and man. It's something that God calls upon His people to experience between one another. I love the old quote that says, to err is human, but to forgive is divine. You ever heard of this story? The South Indian monkey trap. Basically, it's where they put a piece of fruit inside of this coconut where the hole is hauled out just enough for him to stick his hand in. But once he grabs hold of the fruit that's inside, his hand's too big to pull out. And they'll attach it to a chain or to a rope, to a tree, and they'll come back and they'll find this monkey there trying to get away, but he can't. He keeps pulling, but his hand's stuck inside of this gourd of sorts that's attached to this tree because what he's holding on to on the inside is so big he can't be released until he lets go of it. All he had to do was let go of the fruit, pull his hand back out, just like he put it in. I think forgiveness is a lot like that. I think for us, sometimes we want to hold on to whatever hurt or whatever pain. And even sometimes we do this with God when something has happened that has been, we want to hold on to it and we can't let that go so that we can be freed of that hurt. I come back to the thought that we started with this morning. I want to share this one more thing. You know, it would be several years before Mama Rose would meet Chuck, the man who had carelessly taken the life of her husband and left her with those four young children to raise alone. Mama Rose never married again. But when she met Chuck, he could hardly hold himself up. John, her son, looked and said, "Mom, this is Chuck." And she said, "Chuck? Chuck, Chuck," until he lifted his head. And he said, "I want you to know something, Chuck. All of us have had someone die for us. You've just had three." She said, "Chuck, I want you to know something, that my husband and Brother Mac would have gladly given their lives to know that you could be saved." As her son told it, she would offer him forgiveness in what he calls the most beautiful moment of his life. He said, "I realized I was standing on holy ground. I must have had 100 conversations with Mama Rose, perhaps 1,000. But during that whole time, we talked about her life, we talked about her children, we talked about her nursing, we talked about raising the kids, and even the fact that her husband had died at a young age. But you know what? She never told me the story of why. She never mentioned the hardship or the fact that a drunk driver had brought her life to a screeching halt and a dramatic change. She never told the story about Chuck and him becoming a Christian. It'd be almost 2 decades after she passed from this life that I would finally hear the full story. Her amazing story of forgiveness. You see, for her, it wasn't a story to tell. You know why? Because she had left it behind. It wasn't part of the life that she was living today. It wasn't the story that she was constantly bringing back up, that pain and that hurt. She had left it at the foot of the cross. She had left it in the love of Christ that He had offered to Chuck. The same that He had offered to her, that He's offered to you, He's offered to me today. You see, Christ died for all of us. Some of us have had one person die, others have experienced that in multiple ways, but the release that comes from freedom of forgiveness can be yours this morning. Maybe you're holding on to something that you need to call somebody about today and just talk to them and let it go. Offer them that forgiveness. Maybe the forgiveness that you're seeking today is with God, like we saw Jose seeking that forgiveness in his life on Wednesday night, where we come to him and we say, Lord, I trust you. Now I want to obey. Maybe you heard the thought that says, forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And you realize, I've got some work to do with forgiveness, with God, and maybe with somebody else today. Our elders will be at the back of the room, our shepherds, and if you have a prayer of a private nature you'd like to share with them, maybe there's somebody, maybe one of them is somebody you've got a problem with. Go talk to them. Ask them to pray with you. Maybe somebody across the room is in here today, and while we're singing, you just need to walk over there and put your arm around them and say, look, I'm so sorry. I ask you forgive me, and I'm forgiving you. Maybe you need to pray with somebody in the room today. Whatever the case may be, we invite you to forgive like Jesus did as we stand and as we sing.